Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, during our President's Day sale, take 50% off our limited edition bed, plus an extra $100 off all mattresses. End Saturday. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt.
And I'm Sir Jimmy of House Nuts. Welcome back to our Song of Ice and Fire book club. Today we are into the final episode of Knight of the Seven Kingdoms Season 1. And what a finale it was, Matt.
Wow. Man, let me tell you. I got to share with everyone what just happened about like my freaking power walk. I literally walk in the door and I'm like, okay, sick. Jimmy and I are, you know, it's like we record like 1:30 my time. I get home like at 1. It's like, all right, you know. Grab a quick bite to eat, get my water, sit down, get ready. Power goes out. I'm like, are
classic.
You freaking kidding me?
At least I go out before Dunkin' Egg.
That would even
worse. Could you imagine?
Dude, that
reminds me of the old days of satellite pay-per-view whenever I'd be watching like Chuck Liddell versus Randy Couture and someone land a big blow and it would just go to black screen and you're like, no, and you had to call Dish. I'm dating myself, but yeah. Those were the days.
Yeah. So anyway, wow. So just wild, like literally, Jimmy and I sit down. I'm like, all right, we just got to hit record, see what happens. They said animal. So like an animal went into a power line or something.
Oh, probably a squirrel, maybe a bird.
Man, that sucks. I don't know. Yeah. So anyway, who knows what could happen within this recording. We're just rolling with it. But man, what a finale. How are you, Jimmy, by the way? You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Just like I said, working my life away, wondering how I'm going to continue to do this till I'm 67, but we'll figure it out. Figure it out somehow. I didn't get a ton of snow, so that's huge.
I saw the Northeast, man. You guys got hammered with snow.
We didn't. We only got about 2 inches. So, and it was like dusting. So
yeah, not bad. My buddy Kyle, who I do my box trek with, he lives in Boston.
Oh yeah, they got slammed.
He posted on TikTok and he's like, man, 13 inches of snow. I'm like,
no thanks, man.
That's something I know nothing about.
Yeah.
13 inches or snow. Okay. But all right. Well, I mean,
we all can't be Sir Arlen of Penny Tree. Okay.
Seriously. The long night. That's what you know. Speaking of which, man, how about Sir Raymond Fossilway? The seed is strong.
Yeah, so strong, and it, you know, 6 weeks along. It's wild. That whole scene. At first, I was kind of like, "What are we doing here?" And by the end of it, I was like, "You know what? Tremendous! The Fossilway split. It's all good.
It is great. I loved every second of it. It totally threw all of my like. You and I prepared to like. I had some theories about her. I was like, "Man, what are they going to do with her?" And I was like. You know, because she's a prostitute. And so I was like, what if she's like, if she travels around and we see her in every season, right? Because it definitely makes sense to potentially see her in season 3 where there's a big tourney, you know? And I was like, and then I was thinking like, what if she ended up being like old Nan, right? Like she just travels around and she has that was my theory about her. And then no, it doesn't seem like it, but freak loved it. Thought it was amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty good. We also have like news to go over in general too, right?
Yeah, I mean, you and I have not talked about the House of the Dragon trailer, and so there's that as well. And I did do a live stream last night, so maybe we could start with that real quick. Is the House of the Dragon trailer, then get into the finale?
Yeah, dude. Listen, I know it's polarizing. I know people were disappointed with the second half of season 2, but dude, that trailer kind of reminded me. I thought it was phenomenal. Yeah, and also just knowing what's coming and stuff that'll deviate or whatever. I'm excited to see what the changes are, but also like just genuinely excited for it. And I'm the kind of person, I don't watch a lot of trailers, and I get excited about things, but I don't put much stock into it until it's happening, right? Like, I'm very much just in the moment. And for TV, I feel like I'm way more emotionally removed from it than, let's say, like books or something. This kind of like jogged my memory, like, oh yeah, I love this show. Like, I'm glad it's coming back. Yeah, I'm very excited that it's coming back. So the fact that we're getting it and Dunkin' Egg all in 1 year is just awesome. And they're such different shows too. So that's great.
Yeah, I said in my review of it, and because I just posted one to iTunes, I don't post it to YouTube anymore, because literally every time we've ever like clicked on a trailer and done it,
Warner Brothers
comes in. Yeah, they're so ridiculous about it. That's because they don't like us. And but afterwards, if you do still images, it's totally fine. So whatever. Anyway, I said in my review of it, I was just like, it's hard for me to get excited for House of the Dragon right now when Dunkin' Egg is on. Like, not that it looks bad, not that I think it's going to be a bad show, or that I'm split and I'm like, oh, you have to pick one or the other. But it's just like, I thought they should have waited a week to release it, like release it after Dunkin' Egg.
Oh, you mean releasing the trailer? I thought you meant like
the trailer.
Oh, I think you meant releasing the season this year. What are you talking about?
No. The trailer, okay. I was like, cool, but Dunkin' Egg is so good. And I get it. You have the hype, you have it captured, and then you have all the people who are about to stream it.
Yeah.
I get it, but I was just watching it. I was just like, okay. And it's a phenomenal trailer. Like, if Dunkin' Egg didn't exist, we'd be sitting here being like, let's freaking go, dude. Like, this looks awesome. Dragons, combat, everything you'd want.
Still shots of emotions too.
Yeah, everything you'd want from a, you know, your Game of Thrones show. But Dunkin' Egg is so good that I'm just like, okay, like that's got to be in the back burner for me right now, because I'm just so invested in this.
Well, I think it's a great business decision, because for two reasons. One, we now know that Dunkin' Egg is actually getting more views than The Pit, which is a very popular show. Yeah, they're saying 13
of, and it's so good.
Yeah, it's amazing. 13 or 14 million people a week are watching Dunkin' Egg. You and I know there's going to be a ton of people now that are going to go into it. But here's the thing, Matt. What's today's date?
23rd.
The 23rd. The month ends in 5 days. You know how many people are about to cancel their HBO Max because Dunkin' Egg's going off now? That only Egg. Sure. So you need to advertise those people and maybe retain some of them, because they're going to be like, I've had such a good time with Dunkin' Egg. I just want more Westeros. So I think they kind of had to do it.
I agree. Yeah, I'm with you.
And 14 million people watching, even if you only retain half that, I mean, that's a phenomenal number for them as a business. So,
oh yeah, don't get me wrong. I get it. I totally understand it.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm just like, okay, you know, and it's not that it's bad or anything, but I'm just like, but a lot of cool shots in there. I mean, we're going to see the Battle of the Gullet. Mm-hmm. I said in my review, I think it's pretty obvious that we're only looking at like the first three episodes.
Aegon.
Which is typically how they do it. You know, like the first teaser is typically stuff from like the first three at max episodes. And it looked awesome. I think it's going to open with Battle of the Gullet. It's going to be a big, huge spectacle, dragons. Mm-hmm. It's going to be everything we'd hoped season two had ended on. But I'm just like so in Dunkin' Egg mode that I'm just like, I was just like, okay, you know,
in some ways, because like Dunkin' Egg gave me an opportunity to kind of breathe easy and have fun and laugh and feel other things. And it's much more scoped, like narrowly. Sure. So to me, I was almost kind of like, all right, yeah, this is on the horizon and I need to be emotionally ready for that, because so many bad things are going to happen in that show.
Yeah.
So part of me is almost like I needed this little enhanced boost of my mood, you know, a mood booster to go ahead into season three, House of the Dragon. So I know what you're saying for sure, though. I get it. If I had to say which show I prefer, I probably prefer Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, but it's not like by a massive margin.
Right. I've just always loved that story. Whereas House of the Dragon isn't even my favorite of the like Targaryen civil wars. Yeah. I mean, if you told me I could see anything, it's like, I would choose Aegon's conquest over it. I would choose the Blackfyre Rebellion over it.
I do like Blackfyre Rebellion quite a bit.
Yeah. And so it's just like, it's down the list of events that I would ever want to see. Not that any of the characters aren't great or anything, but there's so many great characters is the thing.
Yeah. It's great.
In A Song of Ice and Fire, that it's just like, oh yeah. Okay. And I
had no, and the wheel and pick one.
Right. Yeah. Season two didn't end particularly, you know, as exciting as we'd hoped. But I think season three looks great so far.
It has the opportunity, of course, to save a lot of face, especially for the binge watchers that we always talk about. I think if I could have one thing from Fire and Blood adapted, it would be Jaehaerys building roads.
Right.
Like, you don't want me to pick, because I'd pick the most boring king because he did so much for infrastructure. I think that that's just awesome. Also flying the dragon. I'm forgetting her name, whatever, flies the dragon, whatever. I think that's my favorite part of Fire and Blood is what I'm trying to say. So everyone has different things that they appreciate. And I think that the Battle of the Gelda could win a lot of people back. So,
yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, like I said, I'm excited for it, but we got to talk Duncan Egg. Okay.
What a good finale.
What a great finale, man. I described this a lot last night. Felt like a hangover in a way.
That's a great way to describe it.
Because that is what happened. I mean, everyone's everyone's moving around slow because they just got their teeth kicked in, and a lot of changes, small subtle changes actually could have a pretty significant thing. One thing I totally forgot about last night, and so we'll get to that. But I did the big review last night, so I'll get all your thoughts on it first, Jimmy, then we'll just dive in.
Oh, I mean, I really liked it. I think this definitely follows more of the Game of Thrones formula, where the big moments are in the second to last episode, right? And then you have your final episode be fallout, a little bit of a hook for the next season, whatever it might be. I love when shows do this. The hangover, I like what you said, the hangover episode. It gives you a sense of everyone leaving, like the camp's packing up and you have Dunk going around. And honest to God, it feels like a mirror to us being like, I'm not ready for this to end. Like, that's how we all feel. We all want more. And that's the best thing you can do, is you don't want to overstay your welcome. You want more. You always want to leave. Like, the fact that people like complained about the short episodes, I think that's great, because that means they like it. They want more of it, which is perfect for whatever story that you're trying to tell that's episodic. So to me, it shows like a lot of confidence to have such a slow, silent, well, maybe not silent, but more somber episode without feeling the need to have like an extra added big action scene or something like that. So it just felt like a very confident episode, and the changes are all very interesting. I don't necessarily on the face have a problem with any of them. I think that I'm willing to let the things play out and see what happens. I think it's fascinating that the beginning of the series starts with a lie and the end of season one ends with a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, also, I feel crazy about this. So I haven't looked at too much discourse online, just a little bit. And I see people are like, they confirmed 100% Dunk is not a knight. Did you feel that way? Because I don't feel that way. Because Sir Arlen's alive, and that could be the next thing that happens.
Right. And that's I thought that it was a good way to do it, to where, one, you play around with the idea that he was not knighted. Really play with it.
Yeah.
But then Sir Arlen, like, a good night finish.
That's what I'm saying.
Know that he's on the verge of death, but that doesn't mean that he actually wasn't ever knighted.
He could have been knighted in the next seconds. Listen, I don't think he is. I've never thought so, because to be honest with you, the story's worse if he was knighted, in my opinion. I think it's actually better, and it's super congruent with the themes of knighthood and the Hound and Brienne.
Did you see the meme I texted you, by the way? I texted our little group chat.
Oh yeah.
And I posted on the thing.
Stories.
And then it's George. And then George. Yeah.
Poor guy. So for me, Matt, it's like, I feel 95% confident Sir Arlen did not knight him after that scene, to be clear. But I also, when I read the book, Matt, I was 95% sure that he didn't knight him in the book either. So
the first time I read it, I never even once thought that Dunk wasn't actually a knight.
Oh, dude. I was talking to my in-laws.
And then upon rereading it, I was like, oh yeah, 100%. Yes. Because people also told us, like, no, Dunk wasn't knighted. I was like, what? And then I went back and I was like, oh yeah, yeah, he totally isn't.
Well, that's because Dunk murders Sir Arlen. That's
right.
I know we want like them to trust us, and sure, do that. That's great. I love whenever, more so books, have a good trust in their audience. But like, I was talking to my in-laws and they were like, oh, I never even thought, like, maybe he wasn't knighted. Like, so, and we, I think one thing that always keep in mind, and it's impossible to get into this mindset all the time, but you have to remember that they have to make the show in a manner where you can't expect any real prior knowledge outside of some fan service, like the Nine Kingdoms thing was fantastic. But like the overall show is being made for people who have no idea what the story is, no idea who the characters are. And that is completely independent of the books. And with changes comes a new ways of telling the story. Like to me, an adaptation is always a different telling of the story, which is why I don't get as much up in arms as other people about fidelity to the source material. It just doesn't bother me that much.
Right.
It can be worse sometimes. Sometimes it's better. Like Robert and Cersei's conversations in the show are amazing. And I think the books lack for that with both of those characters. But there's also some stuff they changed in Game of Thrones I hated. But to me, that's its own story. It's its own rendition of it. So I'm not convinced that it's 100% confirmation. Is it 98.9? Yeah, probably. Most likely. But I don't mind it. I don't care that much.
Yeah. You want to talk about the big change?
Oh, the ending? The Makar stuff.
Yeah.
And no ring.
And that was the thing I totally forgot about. And they could fix it because Makar could like chase him down. Right.
Oh, yeah. It's not even a fix, right? It's just a change.
You have to explain it. But yeah, that was something I totally, because I was just thinking about it in the season one context and like the first book. But yeah, in season two and three, it's a big deal that Egg is always like, well, I got my ring. I can always pull out if I need to. Like Ace and the whole, oh, hey, by the way, I'm Prince Aegon Targaryen.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, and Dunk never wants to use it.
Yeah.
Right, and he says he could still have it, but I do think I get you wanted to have a joke there, I guess.
Thought it was really funny.
Yeah, it was definitely funny. And you know, I think ultimately some people said, I think it's just one of those things, he's just gonna throw up his hands and be like, okay, it is what it is, because Egg's gonna be that kind of person anyway. So as long as they explain it, and there's a bunch of tweets coming out today, and interview quotes from Ira Parker, and he says, oh, it'll be addressed, don't worry.
Yeah, Makar is not in season two, apparently, based on the interview with the actor. He said he's not in season two, but one of the things that I was thinking about is they could absolutely just add the context of, like, remember how we only got 2 miles down the road and your dad chased us down, blah, 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 blah. Like, they could do that. And sure. I don't think it'd be that big of a deal, because the way the novellas are set up, like, there's time skips. They're not even in order necessarily. Mm-hmm. Like, they apparently they're going to do a flashback to Dorne in season two. Maybe it happens there.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, because see, the second book starts and they're like remembering stuff that happened in Dorne, because they had like just left Dorne.
Yeah.
Right. And then, right, and then right. And so like, because that's where one of the horses dies and, you know, some mm-hmm. of the other some of the other things. And they, you know, nobody knows Tansel too tall and all that. So that's definitely a big part of it. So I'm fine with that. And the guy who plays Lionel Baratheon, I saw an interview with him. He's like, man, I'd love to come back and do more. That's all I can really say.
Please, you know, God, bring him back. Seriously. He acted like a true Baratheon in this episode. Get out
of here, bitch. So, right. Some other cool things. I kind of want to come back to him. I know it's at the beginning.
Okay.
But for his like one scene in the entire show, Velar Targaryen.
Banger, huh?
I mean, crushes the one scene. That's really his only scene in anything. Dude. I mean, he doesn't really get that much screen time. And then let's just say he's not around much longer going forward in the books either. So,
hey, maximize your minutes. That's what I used to get told all the time in wrestling by the veterans. Yeah. They said, you only got 5 minutes, make it the best 5 minutes you can. That guy made that the best 1 minute you could. That the his cheeks kind of sucking in, his lump in his throat, like you could feel that. Great, fantastic. Yeah, great job by that guy.
Yeah, so loved that. I have notes. Raymond Fosaway, bro, so good.
Somebody related him to Podrick, and I thought that's pretty apt. Like
I see a lot of women that I love female Song of Ice and Fire creators to be like, hey, climb that ladder, lady. You know,
like, oh my God, the wink. You know, their relationship was great.
They said we might get them. might get some more of them going forward.
Hey, if they change that kind of thing and add the, I'm fine with that, dude.
So right. As long as George is involved with it, which it seems like he is, then you can expand these characters however he chooses, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
so,
and who knows? Here's a question. And it doesn't mean it's right, by the way. I'm not 100% sold that every decision George would ever want to make is always the right one. However, wouldn't it be interesting if Makar not knowing was a George change? Like, yeah, we don't know that.
Right. But that would be fine. Right. Like, that's one of the things where it's like some of the stuff in Game of Thrones that are the episodes, the four episodes of Game of Thrones that he wrote. One of which is, what do we say to the God of Death? Not today. He made Cyril Pharrell way cooler of a character. That's like, that ends up being one of the most important lines in the whole show.
Yeah, right? That's true.
It comes back at the very end in season eight. It's one of the only cool things. I mean, I think the first three episodes of season eight are pretty good. I mean, they didn't go how we wanted, but I mean, The Long Night is still an absurdly, ridiculously just good piece of television.
It has a ton of plot armor, and we can argue about it, but Melisandre
to Arya, what do we say to the God of Death? Not today. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's super cool throwback to season one, and George wrote that. Like, that's something he wrote, added to the story.
Yeah, and here's just something to add on to the Makar thing, because I know people feel as if it ruined, and I shouldn't say ruined, but changes Egg's core character. And maybe that's true based on what we have for the novellas, but here's my idea, is that all lines lead to Summerhall, right? And everything in this show should add up into that piece, and we don't know exactly what happens. But I thought this episode actually added some nuance to Egg. He lied to Dunk again.
He almost killed his brother. He was thinking of killing his brother.
And that's what I was going to say. Shows him going to kill his brother while his hair is growing out. To me, that was a symbol of either it reminded of his brother, or it's to show he's still a Targaryen.
Right.
Like, at the end of the day, he's still a Targaryen.
Right. And then his dad being there, and his dad looks at him, and then Dunk knocks on the door. So in a way, it's kind of like Dunk is the one kind of saving them. Right. And I think that that may ultimately be what it comes down to, is where he realizes, like, no, Egg needs him. Egg actually needs this person.
Yeah. And hey, Daeron and Arion didn't turn out because they ate salted rare beef or whatever. Yeah. So maybe that plays into Makar.
A lot of that's, I was looking at the books last night. We had the books pulled up and we were scrolling through in the live stream, and a lot of that's word for word.
Yeah. You could also, and I don't want to belabor the point here on the Makar stuff, because people are going to feel however they want to feel about it. I'm willing to watch it kind of expand. I think in season three, you come back and you have Makar actor come back, and like, because, you know, the story, but that's a really big point of contention. Like, what happens to Dunk when he runs into Makar again, if they don't resolve it off screen, which they could, or he gets the ring from Aemon at the set of, like there's a million things
or another agent that is out there with 1,000 eyes and one.
Dude, I thought we were going to see like Bloodraven and him be like, keep an eye on the boy. That's what I was expecting actually at the end. But yeah. So I get it. Some people are upset about it, but I'm willing to see, you know, where it goes. So,
yeah. Okay. So I want to go back to, I want to go back to, Lionel Baratheon. Okay. So one, I thought it was really cool where I thought that scene was just fantastic. One, in that he was saying like, well, hey, we fought for you too.
That was big, right?
I mean, that's true. Not everyone fought for it. So one, he's saying like, well, you know, he only did it for like, he's still
protected.
Upset. Right. He's protected. He didn't put anything on the line. We did. And one, he also doesn't like Targaryens, where it's like, the only good Targaryen is a bad Targaryen. But he has a line where he says, there's a war coming.
Yeah.
And that made me think a lot about the pay. I can't remember. I think you and I were going to do it. I know Ez and I did. But I think you and I wanted to revisit it with you. And now I think feel like we have to, because you and I did not do the 4-part Southern Ambitions Alliance Patreon, did we?
No, I've only ever talked about the Northern Conspiracy.
Right. Okay. We're going to do it. It's arguably, I think, the greatest Song of Ice and Fire theory ever read on Reddit. And by like Cantus, the guy who writes like, who's written phenomenal essays. Anyways, so he has a 4-part theory about the Southern Ambitions Alliance and what it basically goes into. And again, it is, we do have it as, and I did it years ago. It's a 4-part thing, but I want to revisit it now with, because this line like changes everything for me.
Okay, so, that'd be really fun.
Yeah. So what the theory essentially goes into is that going into Harrenhal, there was already a plan to overthrow the Targaryens.
The tourney at Harrenhal. Right.
The tourney at Harrenhal.
Be clear for everyone. Okay.
Right. So it wasn't just like, oh, they stole Lyanna and now, okay, this is it. Like now it's really time to go. Like not like, like, it's like there's been a lot.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, during our President's Day sale, take 50% off our limited edition bed, plus an extra $100 off all mattresses. End Saturday. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Long-standing plan to overthrow the Targaryens.
Is this tied into the Northern conspiracy?
I don't know. It's just called the Southern Ambitions Alliance. And it's basically like, yeah, I'm sure you've read it before. And it's
well, I've read a lot about the Northern conspiracy, the Grand Northern Conspiracy parts 1 through 6.
They're kind of similar. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
But what this goes into essentially is this idea that like Robert Baratheon and like Ned Stark, Brandon Stark were already planning to potentially overthrow the Mad King. But what I think this did for me last night was it made me think there had been scheming going on for a lot longer, because for Lionel Baratheon to talk about how he thinks the only good Targaryen is a dead Targaryen and then say there's a war coming and like I'll need you makes you think he's already begun planning, and because that's who all his line is, the one that ultimately ends up doing it. So that's
right.
That, and their mindset, exactly, because they spin off and they marry into the Targaryens a lot, so they totally see they're the closest ones to King's Landing. They're the ones that always have to deal with the good kings and the bad kings. So yeah, I think there's remember the Stormlands also, its other neighbor on the other side is Dorne, who really hates the Targaryens. So you actually like think about their other neighbors. So I'm kind of thinking that some of this scheming and planning has been going on for a lot longer.
Yeah, absolutely could. And Baratheons throughout history, like I said, have been one of the more rebellious families, so it totally tracks. And at the end of the day, everyone in Westeros does have certain thoughts about the Targaryens, whether they have the dragons or not. These were dictators, the rulers that were cruel in past times. So it's not shocking to me like the houses would hold that against them at all. Right. And Falsaway also was seemingly not a fan earlier in the season as well.
Yeah,
there's a lot of mistrust.
Well, and think about where they're at just at this moment. Like, the House of the Dragon is a ways away, right? But look at what that does to the realm, right?
Yeah.
And then you still have the coin flip of good Targaryen and bad Targaryen. They just got through dealing with a bad Targaryen with Aegon the Fourth, who slept with so many women that he creates another Targaryen civil war. And you might argue, yes, while there aren't dragons involved in it, it might be just as deadly. I mean, the Blackfyre Rebellion is a big deal because people are like really split on it. Like, I mean, like the small folk, as we just from the firsthand accounts we get in season 2, which will be, you know, the Sworn Sword. I mean, you really get everyone saying, no, we actually think that Daemon Blackfyre actually should have been king.
Man, I cannot. I want to see. Well, we're getting season 2 next year, so that's good.
So I can't wait.
We love the Blackfyre Rebellion stuff. So, whew, this is going to be huge, dude.
Yeah, it's a big deal. So that's where I think you got to think about this mindset is right here. I mean, this is like Blackfyre Rebellion. So it's like these people's grandparents had to deal with, you know, I mean, maybe not grandparents, probably too old for that, but you know, had to deal with. They've heard stories, obviously, of Rhaenyra and Allison, everything we're seeing in House of the Dragon. And a lot of that fallout is here. Now we're doing it again with the Blackfyre Rebellion.
There's so many things that the Targaryens have done poorly and came over and kind of claimed the land too, which
and remember sense. like it's one thing during House of the Dragon where actually you get that great scene in the end where they're talking about it. They still have dragons, right?
Yeah,
big difference,
right. Yeah,
dragons are gone now.
Yeah,
dragons don't exist now. They're weak. And this whole ordeal happens because Arian Brightflame is a total dick.
Well, he's going to Free Cities now, so we're good.
Yeah.
Lionel also had another line that was very important last night. Did you catch it?
Which one? What?
He asks if Dunk has ever been to Tarth.
Oh, yeah. That was huge, too. Yeah.
I popped, dude. I was like, yes, let's go, everyone.
Yeah.
It was so good. Summerhall mentioned, wanted him to go to Summerhall. I also wonder, we hear about Maekar being, what is it, somber at Summerhall, or like brooding in Summerhall. Do you think that's because his son ran off?
Maybe.
Like that, I think that's in the book.
Well, he also has, by the time we get to that, it's like, it's in the second one when you hear about him brooding.
I mean, it could be the fact that he killed his brother. I mean,
the fact that at that point he has two other sons killed.
Yeah, that's right.
Because both Arian and I think Darren die. Darren dies because of there's a spring sickness that kills a lot of people.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So it could be that. That actually makes way more sense. I just thought about that. I was like, oh, I wonder if that's kind of tied in. Whenever Dunk tells
Prince,
him,
doesn't Prince Velar die too? I think he does. I think Prince Velar dies in
the fact that he doesn't do anything else makes me feel like he probably did. George just giving people the flu and killing them is crazy. What about
209 AC is when he died. Yep, Great Spring Sickness. As did his younger brother Mataris, their grandfather King Darren. So we know. Yeah, so King Darren dies. We know that. But yeah, I mean, it's a big. Big deal, man. A lot of people die.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll see any remnants of that in the show, like just passing.
I think
by.
So.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I think so. Yeah.
Dunk also told like Maekar, like, you know, why did the mother spare me or whatever, and not the prince and whatever. And but he says like maybe one day God will have a plan for this fool. Is that what he said? Was it fool? At first I thought it was foot. I was like, what? I didn't watch with subtitles on, but. It's just interesting to think that Dunk is saying, well, maybe I will have a higher purpose, and ironically becomes one of the most important characters in all of Westerosi history. So he's not really wrong. And also I saw the fact that he turned down Lionel Baratheon as a very interesting move, because at that point in the episode, one, he had been just told by a maester he was going to die. But two, it felt like there was a little bit of maybe mistrust. The Lionel, like, he can't really wrap his mind around the fact that he hated the Targaryens so much. I think also at that point in the episode, he wasn't feeling confident in himself anymore. I think he was really thinking about giving up. But interesting, he got the invite and turned it down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Because he's just done so much with him. But at this point, I think he's just thinking about the hedges. He's like, I just want to get the out of this place. And yeah. and then speaking of which, we can talk a little bit about the end stuff too, man. Another the flashback to Sarlacc and then him putting the penny in the tree.
Oh, the penny in the tree was the cream.
And then I loved the final shot when then Sir Arlen rides up and then goes left. I was like, I feel like we're in the Shire, man. It was amazing.
It was amazing. Can I ask you a question though?
Yeah.
Did you think when he went through the field that he kind of made like a phallic cutout in the field?
I did not see that.
Go look at the still shot. Go look at the still shot. I'm telling you, it looked like I thought that was a joke almost. Like I was like, oh, that's really funny. That's going to piss off a lot of people is the first thought I had. Now, to be clear, I think I'm wrong, but I was kind of waiting for some sort of punchline, which I was kind of, I don't know. I was glad that they didn't in that moment. Then obviously with Maekar, you get it, but.
Right. What'd you think about the soundtrack?
The ending was definitely odd. I don't really like it that much.
that we had jazz at the beginning.
Yeah, it was
that was weird, man. That was a little too weird. I was like, what?
Yeah,
like,
especially during the credits is when I noticed it the most because there's nothing else really going on screen. And I was a little like, okay, I guess we're doing that.
Yeah, like you play something else.
Like,
right. They pretty much always played music that's only like themes and scores, even in this show. And then they decided to just play like a normal song. And, you know, I mean, with the like the one exception of it was Jenny's song. It was just sung by Florence and the Machine after it had already been sung
in the show.
Yeah, it was just, man, kind of weird. I didn't like it. Didn't like the jazz, man. I mean,
I didn't like the jazz, but you know what? They're just trying new things and trying to make it distinguish from everything else. So even if I don't really like it, I don't know. I kind of like when they throw out shots, like just attempting stuff. But it doesn't fit. I would say it does not fit.
Yeah, didn't like it.
Odd. Very odd. Yeah. I was thinking maybe it would turn into like bardcore or something. Like it would like switch into
right.
No, just jazz. Just jazz. Jazz.
I mean, it was only a few seconds, but it was just weird. And I was just like, okay, and going into the scene. So Anyways, all right. Well, what do we think? I mean, so next week, Jimmy, are we doing a book comparison?
Yeah, we could if you want. Yeah,
that's what we talked about.
Like, do you want to? We want to read The Hedge Knight and then talk about it next week. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, Yeah, we'll just read A Hedge Knight and we'll just do like book to show comparison next week of like what we thought and you know what we didn't. Okay. That'll sort of also serve as like a bigger season
recap comparison.
Yeah, right. But I think we could talk a little bit of it now, just like about like our season now. Like now the episode now season review. What do we think of like it as a full season?
Yeah, I would love at some point, probably this summer, I'll rewatch it as a binge and just see what it's like in that. Yeah. I think it'll be great. My biggest takeaway from this episode, at least for me personally, was the egg taking the knife into the room.
That was definitely a big difference.
Yeah, I felt like the hair growing out, I felt like it was a bit of foreshadowing, just that egg might end up having a darker side as he grows older. Absolutely positive. Absolutely possible is what I meant to say. And he was pushed.
It confirms
there.
He's gonna go mad just like Danny.
Yes, and
confirmed.
Then he's gonna look Dunk in the eyes as Dunk stabs him in the stomach. It's gonna be sick. One other thing, as an aside, I forgot. This is part of the news, and it actually ties into what you were talking about with Harrenhal. Did you see that they're officially doing the Broadway show in the UK?
Yes, they did.
The tourney at Harrenhal is in that, supposedly. Alan Reed is in it.
We had talked about going, but right now I'm not going anywhere because they just freaking, didn't they just say TSA pre-checks shut down?
Wait, what?
Yeah, they said funding for TSA pre-check, not getting it. It's like, I just got it.
I've had it for years now. Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, funding.
But you don't have to take your shoes off anymore. Who cares? I mean, you're going to fly
I've spent years going through the freaking lines. And the one time I get it, they are like, funding.
I can't believe that they're funding it. I would pay more for it. Well, whatever. Oh, no, it reversed it. They're not shutting it down anymore. Global Entry, however, has been suspended, which is
that's what I have.
Oh, get wrecked.
I have TSA pre-check and Global Entry.
Get wrecked. Rip.
This is ridiculous. This feels like losing. Okay. It doesn't feel like winning.
Hey, I got the feet, so I'm good. All right. I wasn't that pretentious to go get the Global. We're going, Matt. I don't really care what you say. We're going.
I'm not flying British Airways. That's for freaking sure.
That is the feud that keeps on living. I love it. Some people are asking if it's going to be recorded and released anywhere. I would assume so, but probably not for a while after, right? Like, they're not going to do the first run of it, right? Because they want people to come.
I would imagine. Let me pull up the reviews here, by the way, for our season.
What's the ratings?
It's so ridiculous that they got rid of the five options on Google so I could do my... So now it's just liked it, loved it, mixed, or didn't work for me. But episode one, 67% said they loved it. 29% said they liked it. And then you can you know, the rest is right there on the screen. Episode one, yeah, 63 and 30. Episode two, 67, 29. Episode three, which I really liked. That I think might be my favorite episode of the season. 87 and 11. Episode four, which is the only one I put liked it as an episode as opposed to loved it. 94 and 5. Episode five, by the way, I think is getting review bombed a little bit here, because that's one of the highest rated show episodes like in television. And 77 and 13, and then episode six, 69, 27.
I mean, that's definitely very positive overall, right? Like that's a good ratio, I would say.
Yeah, the only one that actually got like mixed, and again on YouTube, if the way the polling works, like if I think you could have 1,000 people say that they loved it and one person can go in and say it didn't work for me, and it'll automatically give it 1%. So it's not like a true, like it could, some of these lower ones could literally be like 2 to 3 people voting. But episode six got 3%. Yeah, episode seven was the only one that got that actually has the highest didn't work for me. So that'd be like the lowest rating.
Yeah.
Well, that's because did you see the review bombing wars that's going on between between Breaking Bad fans and Game of Thrones fans, and then HBO tweeted a thing.
It's the most unemployed shit I've ever heard, bro. I'm like, who are these people? Why do they have this much time? Secondly, that means we should all just stop taking ratings seriously online, like fan sourced rating. I'm done with it.
I only view our ratings.
Well, that's right. Do you remember all the culture war crap that happened in House of the Dragon where they got review bombed because two dudes kid? I mean, I just, at that point, you're just like, okay, hasn't like pretty much nothing to do with the quality of the show at that point. I don't know. I'm so jaded to internet.
Marvel and DC fans used to go back and forth on it, and they basically ruined movies, I feel like.
Oh, you can't enjoy comic book stuff. I'm so glad I'm not a fan.
Some things are so polarized where it's like critics love it, and like go look at The Last Jedi, where it's like critics 90%, fans 18%.
I think I have some hot takes about
all what is that? What is that Breaking Bad episode that's like, it was like one of the highest rated episodes on
I didn't television. Look into it, so I have no idea. I have an idea of which one it would be. I mean, Breaking Bad's like, you know, top three shows all time. So it's,
is that the one where what's his name figures out?
Well, 14th
episode of the fifth season.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Fantastic episode. Absurd episode.
Yeah.
I mean, Breaking Bad is arguably my favorite show of all
time. It's an old show. You can spoil it. It's over 10 years old.
I get, you know what? If it's over 10 years, fair play. Fair play to you.
Okay. Well, I don't, there's not, like I said, these shorter episodes, man, it's like, there's not really a whole lot to talk about once you kind of get through everything. But for me as a season, I mean, I have it right there next to like season three, season four, Game of Thrones. I think it's a stronger overall season compared to either season of House of the Dragon, just because like House of the Dragon season one has some epic moments, but structurally it's kind of a lot to get.
It's a challenge. The whole thing's a challenge.
Right. Just because of the nature of the structure of the season with a lot of time jumps and everything. Yeah. But I knew going into the show, I would love it. I knew, because it's like my favorite piece of A Song of Ice and Fire.
Yeah, it would have had to have been a straight up disaster for it not to. I'll be honest. I think this is the easiest one to adapt. Like, I don't know if I'm sometimes I'm impressed by the House of Dragons stuff because it's so hard to adapt. I, you know what, 14 pages in Fire and Blood or something like that. And Duncan Egg, you could have just put it straight in almost. And it would just work.
Here's a question for you. So now that we've seen it, and it's roughly, we'll say it's like 30, I'd have to do the math, but it's like 37 times three. So you're probably at about 3 hours total of runtime.
Yeah.
would it have been better as a movie?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, would it have been better as a, like, I, it's so good. I don't know where, like, that's where I'm at. As I'm like, I don't care. Well, it's like, just like, okay, let's say it's a 2.5 hour movie, like a big movie, right?
Oh yeah.
But you'd have to cut the runtime down a little bit, but I think there's, I could see some spots where you could cut, you know, some smaller stuff down.
Sure. Yeah.
But, I guess what more could you have done with the budget?
Well, the budget was a restriction.
But I mean, even still, like, watching it, there's nothing in there where I'm like, wow, I wish that were better. Like, everything looked flawless.
I'll tell you where. And this is when people were online, were a little upset with not seeing a lot of the other tournament stuff going on. And Ira Parker said that they basically had to work around the budget, and that's why it's so smoky and foggy. You can't see stuff in the background. They did not have the budget to do more. He's like, I wish I could have, but we had.
I didn't have a problem with it. In fact, if anything, I actually thought it made it cooler because it added to the drama of the story. Like the memes, dude, all the NFL memes, like NFL memes and stuff are sharing. And they're like, every time Joe Burrow steps back, he's just, because Dunk's just getting like leveled. He keeps standing up and getting leveled and leveled. They're like Tua Tagovailoa, like every. Dude, oh my God, it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, I liked it just because it was so centered on Dunk, which the whole show has been, which is really cool. But that was something I didn't even consider.
The fight between Dunk and Arian might legit be the best fight in all of A Song of Ice and Fire.
Television.
In terms of one-on-one fight, I mean, it is like first of all, Arian Brightflame, by the way, in terms of like one-on-one combat, we might have to move him way up the list.
I'll tell you what, Matt, you know what we should do? We should rewatch every fight scene and rank them from the shows.
Yeah. I mean, I still don't know that I can ever put anybody above Jon Snow
versus Ramsay.
No, I would say, oh, if we're talking about fight scenes specifically, not in terms of like who's the best fighter.
You're saying the best fighter. I see.
Right. Yeah, I don't know that you can put anybody above Jon, like Snow version of show version of Jon Snow. Like, remember we did one like Daemon versus Jon Snow.
The plot armor helps. Yeah, the plot armor helps.
Just for the sheer fact that he kills two White Walkers, and it's like, okay, he's literally killed two superhuman beings. You could maybe make the argument that the Viper, obviously, if he was just trying to kill him and not like have this big showcase, obviously it's pretty clear he would have done that, and he definitely kills somebody who is, for all the same thing, pretty much superhuman before he actually becomes superhuman,
becomes a Lovecraftian monster pretty much. And then in the books, I mean, I'm all about Arthur Dayne. I won't hear any heresy about Arthur Dayne. That's you know who lost the Ned Stark and Alan Reed, apparently. If we're not supposed to question that, then I don't know what we're supposed to question.
Yeah. Ooh, all right, man. Well, yeah, great season. I think the best thing for us to do now is next time I'll listen to the audiobook this week, and then we'll come back on our normal scheduled time and do a comparison. What we think now that we reread the book, now that we've seen the season.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. And then after that, we're finishing A Storm of Swords. That is, like, we are literally closing out the chapters and probably right in close to House of the Dragon. Well, we'll be done.
Maybe.
We'll be done before. House of the Dragon comes out, what, July?
June.
Yeah, we'll be, I think.
We'll if
be
we done. Only have like one or two chapters left, then we're just going to have to do
it. Yeah, we're going to finish.
We're going to do a power through. Yeah, we're going to do like a power through. It depends on how close we are. If we're like six chapters away, maybe not. But if we're, I have to do the math. I think we only have 10 chapters left. So
not to mention that there's gonna be a lot of news coming out before House of the Dragon. This is how it always happens. George starts saying stuff in it. We all know how it goes. So there'll be some episodes there if we don't quite come up. But the ideal situation is we do House of the Dragon season 3, and then me and Matt go right into Boiled Leather.
Which is what we wanted to do for the
chapter by chapter Boiled Leather. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Well, hey, with that, guys, as always, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next time. Everybody go read A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. I think I'm going to read the comic book too, graphic novel too. Just to
do a
comparison so I can have that kind of fresh in my mind too. So with that, guys, as always, thanks. And remember that winter is coming.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, during our President's Day sale, take 50% off our limited edition bed, plus an extra $100 off all mattresses. End Saturday. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.